This is interesting. Just sitting here talking about fast food because McDonald's and Burger King, they're doing some innovative things. McDonald's is doing this thing in cities where baseball is big, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Seattle. McDonald's is creating this stadium-approved clear bag because you can bring food in some of these. So you go to McDonald's before the game near the baseball stadium. You order a clear bag, burger, fries, whatever, and you can take it in so you can avoid the high prices of the concession stand and eat a Big Mac or whatever inside.
Okay, I like that.
I like it too. Yeah, it works. Have you been? You go to these baseball games. Can you take food in? I didn't think you could.
I didn't know that you could, but yeah, after reading about that, apparently you can.
In some of them, anyway, you can. I know last time I went to an NFL football game, we were trying to smuggle water in, and they're patting us down. They won't let you bring stuff in. But I guess you can. So McDonald's is doing this. And then B.B. Shea. Audacity. He's like, the Big Mac is too big. Oh, come on.
Get out of here.
Nobody buys that from you.
I got to open my mouth really wide to eat it.
Nobody buys that. And Rachel said her mouth opens like a hinge, like a rattlesnake. She just devours it all at once. And when it goes down her throat, you can see it, you know, like when a snake
eats. It's like
eats
a mouse.
When a snake eats a deer. You know how when that happens, like a boa constrictor eat a deer.
I've heard a lot of unbelievable things in my life.
I know.
But BB saying, I can't eat a Big Mac. It's the
please,
most.
Please. Then he's like, and that double quarter pounder. Oh, my God. Oh, please.
It's too much.
Oh, God.
That's way too much.
It's not. I thought the double quarter pounder was great. They still have that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great sandwich. To me, that's the right amount, the double quarter pounder.
Yeah, if I get a single quarter pounder, I have to order something else, too.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get on top of that. Man, are you cutting back because of your wedding coming?
No.
Look how thin she is already.
That's what I'm saying.
And cut back. Your wedding dress shopping when? This weekend, right? Or next week, your wedding dress shopping?
Possibly someday this week or this weekend.
What are you looking at? You going strapless?
I don't like the way you asked that.
That's the style.
Yeah.
That's the style that I see in all the bridal magazines.
I feel like that's all that they, if you look online, 90% of them are strapless, and I don't love that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say what I've learned about Rachel is that I bet some more conservative look for her.
It's strapless in, but the strap is more conservative. Is that how it is?
I don't know what it is. I think that you have to have a certain build to mm-hmm. wear a strapless. Mm-hmm. I don't believe I have that build.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Who? Here's a great question. Who are you taking with you? Is it this a best friend? Is this taking mom too? Will mom have strong feelings?
Probably taking mom with me. I've thought about taking my best friend, but I feel like she will try to get me to buy something more expensive.
Oh, yeah. How will you and mom will get along doing this? Will this lead to an argument or?
No, I don't think so. I think she has always been do whatever you want. You want to have your wedding.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. I think they're just really happy they don't have to pay for a big wedding.
My wife's mother went with her and they found the dress, like third dress they looked at very quickly. And it wasn't that expensive either. She went to a place that, I mean, and she to this day will tell me, I saved us a lot of money on our wedding dress.
She loves doing that to you. She started early with that.
You know how she does.
$2,000.
I have been taking notes on
less,
that.
Wow. Less. It was like $1,400. It may be less than that.
Yeah. The place I'm looking at, they don't have anything over $1,000.
That's great.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Where are you going?
It's a place on Wendover.
Okay.
Somebody that works here told me about it.
My wife went to a place in Lexington. Now, her family's from there. And they were known to have nice dresses for not that much money. I remember, she's told me a few times what it cost, and it was beautiful. It had little straps on it. When I saw her coming down the aisle, I didn't see her in her wedding dress before she came down the aisle. Beautiful. I still have it in my mind.
Did you cry?
Close. I was welling up. It was, what a day. My wedding day was the best day of my life. It really was. You know, you have to say the days the kids are born.
Sure.
Ooh. Yeah, right. There was a lot of crying that day. Yeah.
But if we're being honest.
I mean, by the end of the day the kids are born, by the end of it, you're just like, God.
I'm exhausted and this just started.
The wedding day is fantastic. The weather was really nice. We had an outdoor wedding. Everybody had it was fantastic. The ceremony was great. It was everybody I like and love there. Minus, you know, a few you have to invite. But other than that, everybody I really like. We had a great time. We danced. The food was wonderful, and it ends in sex. I mean, how does it get any
better?
How does it get any better than that?
That is the best day.
And then you're off for a week, and you go on a vacation. I mean, it is a huge, is a great day. Now, the day the kids are born, by the end of it, you're just like, Jesus God, now we got to take him home.
My mom tells me that. She'll say, best day of my life, day my kids were born. Mm-hmm. And I always say, Mom, you don't have to lie to me. I'm an adult now.
That's true. It's not the best days of my life are wedding day and then the day your teams win like championships.
I was going to say Super Bowls.
Super
or something
Bowls
like that.
And World Series. Absolutely. And national championships. Now, you got to put the kids in the top 10 because, I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah. They get mad about it, yeah.
Oh, God, but geez. The actual day itself. And then you take them home, and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
And then those are like the worst 30 days of your life.
My son had, you know how they're a little yellow sometimes?
Like jaundice?
Jaundice. And so he had jaundice. And today they do a thing, I don't know exactly, because our neighbor just had a baby. And he was a little jaundiced, and they did something, you know, some treatment. You know what they told us to do with our son, who's, this was 21 years ago, wrap him in saran wrap, sit him in the sun. So we did.
I've been told that you treat him like a tomato.
Yes, we treated him like a tomato. We took him in saran, we fully naked, and from neck to ankles, you wrap him in saran wrap. Then you sit him in the window and just wait for him to cry, you know?
He's fine now, right?
He's done.
Oh, he's okay.
He's done.
He's alive?
Ding! He's alive. Yeah. Yes.
You think we left him in the sun too long?
I do think we left him in the sun. I think he stewed. He's like one of the tomatoes that you put in the sun. It's too long and it's no good. That may have been that.
You fried his brain.
That and the fact that she wasn't able to breastfeed very long, I think that's the reason he is what he is. Let's say that. I love him. I love him.
But you have to say that, too.
You have to say that, too. Sometimes he says things, and I'm just like, what are you saying?
It's about time for him to report back to old Rocky Top, isn't it?
Three more weeks or less. Mid-August, he goes back to Rocky Top for the senior year.
Senior year. Yeah.
And then he'll be coming home to me. We know this. He'll be moving back in. I look forward to that. Couple of updates. This has to do with sports. The Cubs fan who smacked the young fan for not standing up at the national anthem is speaking out. The news caught up with him. If you missed this whole story, it caused a bit of a kerfuffle that at Wrigley last Sunday, and it got put on video. An older guy was standing up like almost everybody else in the stadium, and in front of him was some kid who just sat there. And it turns out the guy's name is Robert Chavez, who was standing. He is a veteran. He fought in Vietnam. And when the guy didn't stand up, it made him mad. So he started barking at him. And eventually he just gave him a pop in the head. And the kid stood up for the rest of the national anthem. And most people had the same reaction. You really can't place hands on anybody, but good for you.
Yeah.
Well, now I like what the guy said, the older guy. He said, what people don't know is what was caught after the cameras stopped rolling. As the game got started, the kid went and bought me a beer, and we sat and had a great day at the ballpark. You know, the two of them like became, they bonded over it. And he's like, I really should have stood up. And the guy said, well, I really shouldn't have hit you, and I'm sorry.
Listen, sometimes you need to get smacked in the head to get your S together.
Yeah, right, yes.
Yeah. So this we've all been smacked in the head.
Smacked in the head. Yeah,
he sometimes you need it.
That's exactly right. A spokesperson for the Cubs said, the national anthem is very important, but every fan has the right and reserve to not.
Wink, wink.
We reserve the right to not stand for the national anthem as well.
It's different with patrons' choice.
My fan experience is the top priority of the Cubs Nation. Wrigley Field is a family-friendly.
I've been to Wrigley several times.
How family-friendly is that?
And see what they're charging, by the way, for great fan experience.
Yeah.
Don't go in the bleachers.
You know, my favorite thing about what I've ever heard about Wrigley Field is they had, I don't know that Rachel would even know about this. In men's rooms, Wrigley is old. I mean, it's old. And they used to have, they may still have those, it's like a trough that you pee
that's
in.
Yeah, that's so weird to me.
God.
I'm so glad I don't have to do
that. I've only seen those a few times. Like when I was young, at ballparks and stuff, you'd go and my dad would take me somewhere at the Coliseum, and it would just be a big trough.
Look, I peed in those troughs as an 8-year-old.
God, I know. You talk about being embarrassed. When your little 8-year-old weenie's out there.
I mean, I didn't know, like, literally.
And you're surrounded by all these grown-up weenies.
Yes. So does it, ugh. Is there like flowing water? Or, like,
yeah.
How does it work?
Like,
some of them just have ice in them.
True.
Ew. Yeah.
It's like a trickle of water that goes toward the middle,
And as big as you're, as an 8-year-old, your little weenie's in your hand, and you're talking about embarrassed because, you know, peen just surrounded by peen.
I remember my dad's like, go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
you
I'm like,
get it done.
It's scary.
And it's nasty as it can be. Well, at Wrigley, they get so drunk by the end of the night that they start like diving through it like it's a water slide.
Yeah.
That's real. That really happened. There's like, video of that.
You can go on YouTube and see that. It's disgusting.
They still have those.
Not the last time I was.
I wouldn't think.
Well, yeah. I mean, Wrigley's doing the best they can to preserve history, but updating things as much as possible. You know, I hated it when they moved the bullpens.
Yeah, they're no longer out where they used to be.
God, I love that. When
that
you
was
had
cool.
The bullpens were right there. I mean, this was every
stadium. You could pour beer on the pitcher's head.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing we like. You
Fun,
know?
Yeah.
But they had those troughs, and people would slide through them like it was a slip and slide. And then I went to some that used to be like round, and everybody just stood around one of those. Again, just a trickle of water, and you're standing there peeing into it.
I have one more question about that. How close do you stand next to each other if there's a lot of people there? Like, are you shoulder-touching?
Shoulder-to-shoulder. So you're not touching. But.
And total embarrassment because everybody sees your wiener. And, you know, because he's trying to stretch it and, you know, make it where
it's horrible.
It looks better. And then if you can't go, God, the war. Because you get anxiety. You know, you can't go.
Yeah. I remember standing there not being able to go. My dad above me going, go.
And then somebody would say, somebody always says this, if you shake it more than twice, you're playing with it. Let's go. And that's always the line.
Okay.
Men.
This is something you guys have worse, for
guys.
Sure.
Yeah, it's terrible.
God, that was yelled at me at the golf course by my father.
You
go pee in the woods, and here's your dad behind you going, shake it more than twice,
playing with it. Chad, your thoughts on stadiums. Go ahead.
The Ding Dong still has troughs in it.
Does it really? The Ding Dong.
It sure does. Well, you know, it hadn't been renovated in a while, but yeah, it still has them in it, so you have to wait. Man. It's pretty bad. Plus, they're a little embarrassing sometimes.
Boy, I'd say it is. That's bad. I know, those troughs. But who was the first person to think, let me dive through this?
It's
urine.
It's disgusting.
Disgusting. Gross. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. You know, I went to an old restaurant once in Myrtle Beach, like this old school steakhouse. And that was that's the first place I'd ever seen, BB Shea just mentioned it, where I went in to use the urinal and it was full of ice. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. It's to keep water like moving through the pipes, because it melts. And of course you pee on it and it starts melting more. And it was just a weird thing, you know, that's odd.
Imagine being ice guy.
Hey, Jimmy.
You got to be ice guy.
Jimmy, troughs are low on ice. Fact. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to be ice guy at some point. Somebody's got to be that. Follow-up. Again, sports-related. Ryan Clark, who was fired by ESPN, is sharing the details now of his firing. He was on a show. Biggie mentioned this yesterday. And word started to leak that he was going to be fired. So he saw this. And then he saw ESPN executives come around, and during a commercial break, he said, should I be done now? And they went, yeah. And so he left.
Yeah.
Because that's how it'll happen for him. A face will appear in the window, and Biggie will say, should I be done now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've asked this, and I hope really it does. Somebody call me at home.
You don't make him come all the way in here.
To me, that's always been the worst about any firing is like, you have to do it in person. And I always think to myself, no, you don't.
Yeah, why didn't they just text me? Just text me and say it's over.
That can be any firing.
Yeah.
Just, hey,
I agree.
You're done. But it's always like we have to have – a lot of companies will say we have to have an exit interview. And I think to myself, oh, that'll go well.
Yeah. Well, he just got fired.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I want the exit.
I have some things I'd like
finally
to –
get a chance to say
to get off my chest.
What you really want to say. The exit interview might be a nice thing.
Or turns into a roast session.
Yeah. Then
yeah.
That might keep you your job is they don't want to have the exit interview with
maybe.
You.
And this dumbass.
Exactly.
I don't think you can be started on that guy.
What do you think of Biggie? That dumbass?
That dumbass? I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, let me get to I owe you an apology already. Next week we're on vacation. So when we do that, of course, we have best of programming. Oh, you're going to hear the highlights. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be, the best of the best. And B.B. Shea's, today he was, it's a whole intricate system, but he has these codes to enter in for these best of pieces. And he would say to me, there's a best of piece that is wrong on Tuesday. And I would like, Biggie made that, man. That's a Biggie mistake. It may not be. I don't know. And BB Shapes, who's responsible for this? Biggie did that.
Wow.
Someone's got to take the blame.
Well, that's a Biggie.
Yeah. Well, I'm the new. He used to blame Chris Dim quietly.
A lot. I do that a lot.
Now it just shifts to me.
I'm just like, yeah, that's Biggie. Biggie took
care of Chris Dim. He doesn't understand anything.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's doing. Biggie did this. More follow up. Yesterday we mentioned that Rosie O'Donnell had a facelift and it cost her $90,000. Caprice, a P1, said Kris Jenner had one for $150,000.
It's got to be the same guy.
That guy.
This has to be the magic face guy.
Does that mean that Kris Jenner's face was in worse shape than Rosie O'Donnell? $60,000 more.
Well,
more work needs done on that.
I'm telling you, if you go look at these photos of this, I mean, Kris Jenner looks.
Rosie looks incredible.
Kris Jenner looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, they're all saying this guy is like working magic. He will take your multiple facelifts you've had through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And do away with all of it and make you look younger and natural. That's the big thing.
You know, B.B. Shea and I saw, you know who we saw? A guy on the news earlier today. It's William Shatner. He and his daughter now are speaking out because they both had cancer at the same time and nobody knew it. And they're both, I believe they're both in recovery now. They're okay.
Yeah, they're both, yeah.
But he had like stage 4 cancer a few years ago. Well, he's doing an interview and we looked at it. He's 94. He looks 64. I mean, he looks that
good. He looks better than his daughter, who's 30 years younger.
He does. Yeah. His face, I don't know if he's had work done, but his face is less wrinkly than mine.
And quick, too.
Yes.
Like has no mental decline.
He is in great shape.
I just saw, he was always the price line negotiator.
Yes.
I just saw a new commercial with him in it, and it's introducing a new price line negotiator. And I thought, no need. He's still got it in him. He looks great.
He does. And
yeah.
I mean, the look, anyway, if you said, how old is this person, you'd say 65. Mm-hmm. He's 94.
I think he was touring last year.
Well, he is again.
He's been performing with some band recently.
Yes, he is. He did a funny thing. It was like a tour writer that he has. And he had like 20 things listed, like all these old school rock stars would want. You know, he's the ones like Evian water chilled to an exact temperature and only brown M&Ms and that kind of stuff, you know. So he is out with like some rock band. William Shatner. B.B. Shea says time is undefeated. But William Shatner is challenging
He's
that.
He's beating that.
He may be the type, though. I'm he can't. It. If he slows down, then he declines.
That's right. I'm doing
What's
it
keeping
too.
Him? Yeah.
I told B.B. Shea I'm going to be the first person to beat time. I'm never going to
That's
die.
That's right. You did really take to that guy who was stealing his son's blood.
That's right.
And I think that might be part of the reason you want your son to move back home.
You know this guy? This guy's son was 18, and at night, he'd do two things. He'd steal his blood by hooking him up while the son slept and get his own blood. You know, he'd replace his blood a gallon at a time or a quarter at a time with his son's, and he'd measure his son's erections and be like, why can't I have erections during the night?
Totally normal activities by a father.
I'm assuming the son knew about it, of course.
Oh, eventually. Yeah. He woke up one night.
Well, he kept waking up lightheaded in the morning.
And his pants were down.
What's going on here?
Why do I feel like this? And why are my pants down?
He fell. My pants around my ankles. Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
What do you want, pancakes?
Yeah, you're losing a quart at that age. Quart of blood at night.
Yeah, he's taking a quart of blood out of it. I'm fine with it. I didn't have any issues with it. But yes, I told B.B. Shea, when you speak at my funeral, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute, you're not speaking at my funeral. I'm beating time. That's what that's what I'm doing.
Well, all AI speak at your funeral.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like the ultimate exit interview.
Yes.
That'll turn into a roast session at your funeral.
What'd you think of him? What an asshole.
wait, this is we wanted funeral AI. This is exit interview AI.
Yeah, you have to mix it. Mix
Sorry, we loaded the wrong AI.
That's our fault.
Oh, we need funeral. What a guy. Wonderful man.
I told B.B. Shea yesterday was class number 2300 for me at the gym that B.B. Shea and I share. Thank you. And B.B. Shea said, yeah, he's only 2,298 behind. I said, you'll get there.
But you know, you're starting, B.B.
You'll get there.
But that's a great accomplishment.
Oh, and thank you.
I will say, he's been going to Orange Theory, the gym we go to, for 8 years.
That's right.
And he has 2,300 classes under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost 300 classes a year.
Oh, yeah. You do not miss.
That is an insane mark.
Well, and I appreciate
it's
that.
A great accomplishment.
You do the dance still, which I love every Friday. You always say, Fridays are the days I don't go to the gym.
That's right.
I don't go to the gym on Friday. And now, I believe you when you don't talk about it, but when you come in here and start
I'm not going to the gym. I'm going right home. I'm going to nap. I'm not going. I'm like, he's going. The more he says it, the more he goes.
Oh, you're right. And then I do. I do.
Not today. Need a nap today. I'm going to go home. I'm naps ready to land. Ooh, Friday. Ooh, no gym.
Can't stand it. I can't stand to miss it. I cannot stand. It's FOMO. I can't stand. Later in the day, I'm all antsy when I don't go.